Yeah, well, you want when we start to shrink the paper, or are you going to say it when it's...
There is one other.
You're never coming back.
Oh, yes, he will. There's one other angle that I had intended to mention, but as you know, we ended at a gallop, and we're way out of sync altogether with our class times. I hope that you're not bothered by that too much. There's one other angle. Some of you may be involved in oversight, this kind of thing. I mentioned that the elders in one of the assemblies in Plymouth had suggested that I write to them and give them friendly and helpful letters of encouragement as to how their worker was getting on and so on. It's also very important that the elders of the assembly should write once in a while to the missionary they have commended. It's a two-way street. And some workers have been dreadfully disappointed and discouraged by the fact that the elders give them a letter of commendation. That's about it. One worker from the north of Ireland who went to work many years ago in South America, and when he came home, he was asked to give a report of his work in a certain assembly, not the one he was commended from. But on the night of that report, a number of the people from his assembly went over to hear it. And he said, on the 21st of such and such a month and such a year, the elders of my assembly gave us a letter of commendation. And up to the present, that is the only letter we've ever had from them. Two of those elders came up after the meeting, put their arms around him and wept and said, we have sinned, we're sorry. But of course that didn't make much difference to the 6 years or whatever that were passed. It is very important. Now, I also know that there's a sort of a habit getting in now that if a missionary is commended from Assembly A, that they must, by that very fact, send them so much a month. I'm not sure that I'm terribly happy about that. It sounds too much like we commit ourselves to giving you so much a month as a missionary. It's robbing of the missionary in the first place of any genuine living by faith. What happens if that assembly, you see, supposing I were commanded from Assembly A, and they say, we're going to send you X amount of money per month. Supposing after a while that assembly disintegrates and disappears, all the other assemblies will know that David Long was getting support from Assembly A. So they wouldn't bother. Why should they? If they're getting nearly all it takes to live from that one assembly. At one particular time, one specific time, in Angola, we had three missionaries whose home assemblies had totally disappeared. Now, it didn't happen on their first term out there, anything like that, but during the course of their missionary work, their assembly had completely disappeared. Now, what would have happened if they depended on that one assembly to send them so many $100 a month? I think we still need to keep as close as we can to New Testament principles, so that others will be exercised as well, so that there will be a consciousness of need, and so that people in prayer, God could impress them, so-and-so, we should send them a gift. And maybe at that particular time, that missionary, that worker, had a very special need. One instance of that, before this question comes to me, one of our missionaries in Angola received a large sum of money. Now, by large, I don't mean $1 million or anything like that, but probably $1,000 or something of the kind. Couldn't understand it. Never got such a gift in his life before. And coming from where it came, he said to his wife, "Did you write any letter home and say anything about that we were in need, or that we needed a car, we needed a whatever?" She said, "No." "Well, what about, what's this money all about?" He was frightened. So he put it away. He didn't know what to do. He was going to give it away to somebody else or something else, because he didn't want to get himself into some kind of a cleft stick about this. Very shortly, he got word from Sakeji School that his child was sick. It turned out that the child had needed brain surgery, that it was extremely urgent. They flew the child back to Angola, didn't wait for cars or anything else. The wife took off with the child. He had to see to things in Angola. He followed her. And the money that they received and were frightened about, and that the people, of course, who sent it, they didn't know this child was going to have a brain tumor. But we need, brethren, we need to leave room for God to work. I also notice in many, many quarters today, even workers in this land, you go somewhere for a meeting and they give you money. But if you didn't go for the meeting, you wouldn't get it. In other words, you're getting so much per sermon. What about the other time? What about if you're so sick that you can't take meetings? What about if your wife is so sick that you can't leave her to take meetings? No preach, no money. I feel that this is a bad principle that is coming in. Now, I can see why brethren want to cut, travel expenses, whatever, that kind of thing. That's all right. But this exclusive business, and I don't mean anything about exclusive meeting, but this business of giving exclusively money when you happen to preach there so much for preaching, I think it's a bad business. Yes, sir.
You make the point in your outline about the importance of being approved by the people of God and then commendation by the local assembly. If, in fact, someone's assembly disappears, like those you mentioned in Africa, mm-hmm. What does that say? Isn't part of commendation that not only that the people from that assembly have confidence in that worker, but also that he's held somewhat accountable to them?
Yes. Yes, there is an accountability to the assembly, obviously, and that opens another whole can of worms, to put it mildly, because this business of accountability is also a two-way street. I'm not sure about exactly what you mean. They would be accountable in giving him a letter of commendation. He is accountable to them. In what way had you in mind before I go any further?
Well, for instance, you mentioned earlier, if a worker falls into sin, you could write their assembly. If I go out as a missionary from Assembly A, they could still discipline me conceivably or mm-hmm. retract their commendation.
That's
saying
correct.
They don't have confidence in what I'm doing.
Right. Well, usually what happens when the assembly disintegrates or disappears these days is that another assembly with which they become identified in the meantime gives them a new letter of commendation. I think you will notice in the magazines, missions and whatnot, you will see so-and-so originally commended from such-and-such, recommended from. But to go a wee bit deeper into this, it's a very tangled skein indeed when you have a missionary thousands of miles away from his home assembly. They have no way of knowing what's going on the field, and that person either gets into sin or breaks down emotionally or just is totally incompatible and can't work with the other workers or whatever. Very frequently, the situation has turned up that brethren on the field, on that particular field, well aware of what is happening, get together, and believe me, it's a hard, hard, hard situation. They will talk, they will weep, they will beg, they will insist, they will read scriptures, try to solve this. And finally, they have to write home to this workers' assembly and say, look, the situation is ABC XYZ. You wouldn't believe the number of times that the home assembly will say, we know our man, we know our girl, they wouldn't be guilty of this, and we don't accept your judgment. Now, I'm not talking about one case in 100. I'm talking about something which has happened again and again and again and again. And I indeed have been involved in some of it. That is, in sending in sending a letter home. If these brethren at home have not confidence in the workers to whom they commended this brother or sister, if they cannot accept the word of not just one man, this never happens. We wouldn't tolerate one man sending another man home. But where we in Africa, in some cases, got together as many as 8 or 10 brethren to try to solve a problem, found it was not capable of being solved, and sometimes involving immorality, sometimes incompatibility, sometimes emotional breakdown, nervous breakdown, and for the good of the worker as well as everybody else, and yet they'll say, we know he's our man, and they continue to support him, and absolutely rejected. In one case, over false doctrine in Zambia, over 20 elder missionaries with breaking hearts signed a letter, and the 20 signature letter was brushed to one side, and we will continue to support our man. And they did, to the destruction of innumerable assemblies and a rift through the assemblies and practically in the whole of Zambia. Mm. Yes, Larry.
Have there been cases situations where it be acceptable, considered acceptable, for instance, you are working in Africa, your home assembly for some reason or another folds, no one else picks up your commendation, and the African brethren decide they would like to commend you to the work of the Lord?
Perfectly acceptable to me.
Have you known of situations where that's occurred? I know it would be perfectly acceptable, but have you...
No, I don't know that they have actually signed a letter of commendation, but where the person, the individual's work among them has been such that they didn't need a letter of commendation. But certainly, for example, after working for years in Zambia, in Angola, my wife and I felt greatly burdened at one time to move from Angola over into Congo, Katanga, where there were a lot of Chokwe assemblies and no Chokwe-speaking worker among them. We discussed this with our brethren. They didn't like it. They wanted us to stay in Angola, but of course they understood our exercise. And I felt that it would be wise for us to get a letter of commendation from all our fellow missionaries saying that we were leaving Angola, coming home on furlough, that we would go back by way of Belgium to learn French instead of Portuguese, and so on and so on, which they did, and some of the African elders signed that, to show their fellowship. I make no distinction between workers, whether they're African or white people from other countries at all. That doesn't affect me. But to me, it is such an almost unimaginable situation where an assembly, sometimes a small country assembly with no understanding, but their worker has written home to them and said, you know, all their missionaries are all jealous of me, they're all against me, and they're going to tell you such and such, and by the time we communicate with them, no, we'll stand by our worker. And that is a simply atrocious situation. If they had the confidence to send their worker to them, they should have the confidence in those workers to accept their judgment, not of one man, but of a group of missionaries. On the other hand, if they didn't have confidence in them, they never should have sent their worker to work with them in any case. So it doesn't make sense.
On the question of support for the worker, whether it be on the mission field or whether it be on the home field, not to give the impression of being a paid preacher per se, but don't I have a responsibility of my assembly for those that we have commended to the work of the Lord to be part of their support, whether it's on a monthly basis or a weekly basis or bi-monthly? Is that not a responsibility of the assembly to support the work that you have sent forth into the work?
Yes, it is. As long as it doesn't become a wage, as long as it doesn't become a thing that we, if you go out, we're going to give you $750 a month. Once we get onto that basis, I think we're going straight into the arms of the way they do things in the mission societies. I think, I assume you were here when I mentioned one of the reasons I don't think that's a good thing. One, the assembly might fail totally. Yeah. Two, there might be special needs. There might be times when the missionary wouldn't need that much money, and there might be other times when they would need far, far more. That there should be room for flexibility, for exercise. My heart, I've been burdened about John or Ginny or whoever, and right now it's been a burden to me in prayer. Therefore, I feel I should send them a gift. And that's done, and God's finger was in it. But if, you see, if people hear, for example, that I were commended by some assembly in New Jersey, and that assembly was going to support me, and it became a known fact that assembly was supporting me to the tune of X number of dollars per month, other assemblies are going to say, well, you know, Kenilworth or whatever is looking after them, so we don't need to bother about them. We'll send our money somewhere else. And I think that would be regrettable. Also, we might end up in the long run by every worker being supported by his or her church and not supporting any other missionaries.
That would be the danger.
That's one of two dangers. One, that they would have their eyes on the assembly. I don't need to worry. My assembly's going to send me $500 a month or something like that. On the other hand, other assemblies, every assembly would be supporting its own missionaries. I become very vexed at the assembly that we happen to be in now. They have a couple of missionaries, two at least in France, and they have one in another African country, which I won't mention. And they never send, as far as I can see, they never send any money to any other missionary than to their two missionaries in France and their one in this African country, Botswana. And somebody came to me who came recently into the assembly, and they said, I noticed that they talk about sending £500 every so often to such and such, and to such and such, and to such and such. Do they not support any home workers? Well, actually, they do. But it's just trifling compared with what they sent. And it's never mentioned, and the home workers' letters of acknowledgement are never read in the assembly, because they will amount to £30. If they've come and preached for a Sunday, they get £30. I don't agree with that system at all.
The only stopgap that I'd like to mention is the funds that are being dispersed from the collections for the work of the Lord in supporting, whether it's in the home field or in the foreign field. The X amount of monies that are sent out is equally dispersed with all the workers, whether it's commended from your assembly or not from your assembly. But the monies that are dispersed wouldn't keep them in a position where they do not need support from others.
Well, that's it. But if people get the idea that they're getting their total support from one assembly, others are going to sit back. Well, you don't need to worry about them. And that's what's happening. I know of cases where it's happening. John, you're the specialist.
I want to get back to commendation.
Good.
Commendation is to the grace of God.
Amen.
It's not to anything else. Whether the assembly goes out of existence or not, long as that worker is performing and is living in the Lord, he's commended.
Amen.
We have names in our handbook that their assembly is long gone.
Oh, yeah.
They're still commended. to the grace of God. And as far as the support is concerned, we're very thankful at CMML that over 90% of what we get is directed or suggested. Pardon me, I can't say directed, but very little that we have to allocate. And we try to do that amongst the needs that we know from the letters we read. And there are assemblies that say, we have a man or a lady we'd like to come in, but we can't afford to. That's not right.
No.
They go out depending on the Lord.
Amen.
And there are all kinds of avenues that the Lord can work. A little letter in the magazine and somebody reads about it. Well, we have these unallocated funds and we allocate it to somebody that's just gone out. And before you know it, they've got their prayer warriors working with them and praying with them and supporting them. But we've got to remember, commendation is to the grace of God. I don't know, somebody else had their hand.
By the way, we'll have to cut this off somewhere, okay? Go ahead. No, go ahead. Well, I mean, this is for a missionary there are two missionary conferences a year here, and I'm not involved in them at all. Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead.
Brother, is it a scriptural requirement to have a commendation before you can go out in the mission field?
Well, it depends on what you mean by a letter of commendation. Apparently, Timothy would not have been given a letter the way we give them today, because, you know, writing was on vellum and it was a difficult business. But the assembly showed its commendation of their outgoing, showed their commendation of them to the grace of God by laying their hands on them. Now we do it through a letter. The letter simply states, this worker is going out. We have watched their spiritual development. We have confidence in them. We believe that God has called them to this work. Wherever they go, this will assure you that we are behind them, that they're not going out in rebellion against the local church. That's all that's involved.
So I wanted to touch on two areas. Number one was, again, the role of the assembly in discerning the mind of the Lord, the head. Even when the worker goes out, he personally, individually, should be going out because he is called of God and knows he is going to depend on God and not the assembly. He serves the Lord Christ. Now, when he goes out, he is going out by faith in the confidence of the provision of his master. The assembly is in the same role. The assembly discerns the mind of the head, and if they find that the mind and the will of God is for that worker to go out, the assembly by faith commends that worker as well. Not because they have the ability to support the worker and take care of it. So that's the first one, very important. By faith, utter dependence on the Lord. And the second one that I thought is important is this. You know, there have been times that, I want to be careful, I took a brother who was in a position of having a lot of money in an organization. And he wanted to talk to me, get to know me, and we met in a restaurant. And as we met in a restaurant, it started to pour, and it was closed. So we had to go to another one, and my car was closest by. So at that point I said, well, get in my vehicle and we'll drive together, because it was raining. He got in my vehicle. Well, my vehicle had like 200 and some thousand miles on it. Broken car handles, broken things to roll down the windows, you know. And so he's in my vehicle, we drive there, and as we sit down and we're talking, finally he says, well, brother, tell me, what are your needs? I said, well, brother, I've never really told anyone but the Lord what they are. Oh, come on, brother, you know, it's the Lord's money. All we do is just give it out for the Lord. Just tell us what your needs are. And I thought, brother, weren't you just in my car? But you know what? I came that close. By the grace of God, he spared me. And I thought, you know, brother, in my home assembly, there are men that know my work for the Lord and they know my situation. Let me give you their name, their address, and why don't you on your own write them? And maybe they'll communicate. But I've never really told anyone my... What? And he said, well, that'll be fine. Why don't you do that? Well, I gave him the name and number. He never wrote them. Man, that was a little disappointing. But anyway. So I'd just like to say that in the Old Testament...
Is this a third point?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, brother. A third point. This one... Thank you, brother. The other one was this, and I think this is very important. In the Old Testament, the people of God gave to the Lord. The giving of the people of God is always to the Lord. It is worship unto the Lord. And the Levites receive from the hand of God. Now that's important. Yes, the money in a sense came from the people. Ultimately, you could say the Levite got what the people gave. Yes. But the Levite received it from the Lord. And the people gave it to the Lord.
Right.
And that pattern must be upheld. I serve the Lord Christ by the grace of God.
Right.
And the people worship their Lord.
Before anybody else, and I see all kinds of hands waving for the microphone, let me say one thing from my experience. The people who made the biggest noise about wanting my address when I went out to Africa, and that we would like, you know, to remember you and we want to do what we can, were the people who never supported me. The people who did the most talking were the people who did the least work. By the same token, some people who never promised me a thing. And in those days, money, of course, was a bit more valuable, but even so, I got small gifts, 10 shillings, when that was value for about $2.50. £1, £2, looking back over it. God never failed.
Amen. Amen.
But when we came home on furlough, I had a man who was in a big business, and he got together with me and he said, you know, I think it's well to have things on a kind of an intelligent basis. I would like you, when you go back to Angola, there are things you would like to do. If you would give me a list of things that you would need that you have in mind to do, even to the supplying of you with a mobile ambulance and operating theater, fully equipped, I would be very glad to send it to you. And then that would be my first desire to give you that. Well, we had no need for it, and the idea of sending a mobile operating room, operating caravan type of thing through our roads in between the trees, it just boggled my mind. But he said, after that, I would like you, each 3 months, to send me a list of things that you really need in the work, and I would be glad to supply it up to $2,000. I never did, and he never did. He never sent me a cent from that day to this. Probably I disappointed him by not sending him a list. Within less than a year, he was bankrupt and lost everything. If I had put the slightest confidence in that, I would have been up a tree and in a bad situation. So, as Brother John has said, and as I have said, and several have indicated it, the basis of it all is when you go out in the Lord's work, you are commended to the grace of God. You look to the Lord, but God's people should be open to direction from God apart from X number per month to A or B or X or Y, so that God could touch their heart and the need could be supplied like that. God can do it, and God did do it, God has done it, and God is doing it. But we must be careful not to get into this so much a month pay as you go thing. Now we've got two more here. Where's the mic? Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead then, Tom.
I just wanted to say, from my experience with talking with missionaries at our home, their big concern is not people sending the money. It's for people to pray for them and support their work through prayer. And then if you're praying for one and you know some of their needs, then you do have an exercise to support them with your money. But their concern when they come home and when they write is not to go around looking for money. They're not concerned about that because, as we've heard, they depend upon God to support them. And I guess maybe we've heard it here before, but I know Mr. Wilson has told often how that when he was in Angola, he never asked for anything. He told God his needs. And I remember him relating during the war when the mail was stopped and everything else, he never went hungry. And he had other missionaries at his table, and he was able to support them. So
if we didn't believe that, we should give up.
I think that's an important thing to remember. We're concerned about money, and we should support missionaries with our funds, but they're concerned about us praying for them, and that's the way we can support their work and be part of their work.
And those who pray will be those who will support. And so far as supporting me without praying for me, I would rather not have it. I would rather have their prayers than their support.
When you say missionary, you mean a home worker?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
I want to change a role here that I feel is very, very important, especially to those here that may be in the role of elder, or those who are younger men that maybe will desire a good work in the future. But for many, many years, I struggled as a deacon in our home assembly as to know God's mind as to what to do for the worker. And I have a pet peeve. I absolutely disdain people who think that they just sit back and not know what is happening in the worker's life, not knowing where they're at, not going and asking them what they need necessarily, but not even having the faintest idea what's going on in that worker's life, and then what I call just the shotgun approach, $50 across the board to 200 missionaries or whatever you know the approach may be. That was done for years and years and years, and that just tore at my soul because we did not know, we did not seek to know God's mind as what was happening in that worker's life so that we could really supply the needs that were there by God's grace. So when, and I'll say this very lovingly, and I think we made a mistake as deacons with not giving more direction to CMML. Many years ago, we gave a very large sum of money that was given, that was provided by the Lord to the assembly, and we decided that we felt that there's got to be great need out on the field, and we didn't really give enough direction, I think, to CMML to know what to do with that large sum of money. It was a very large sum of money, and we felt that maybe there was a worker that was had a great physical need in hospitalization. Maybe there was a worker that needed a Jeep. Maybe there was a worker that needed something else. And we thought with this large sum, there would be a lot of workers that could be cared for with this. We got back several months later, probably 150 notes from 150 different missionaries. Thank you very much for the $100 apiece that we got, one right after another, whether they needed it or not. Now, it's our fault because I don't think we gave enough direction to CMML.
I agree.
But, you know, what I call a shotgun approach is not God's mind, I believe, in meeting the needs. And the deacons, others, need to be aware of what the needs are and walk in their footsteps so that they can see God's mind.
And one other thing, in the assembly we were in originally in Toronto, they also made it clear that if any person in the assembly wished to designate money which they put in the offering to somebody about whom they were concerned and exercised, if they put it in an envelope and said for such and such a person or purpose, the assembly would see that it was forwarded to that person, so that individuals could be exercised and send their money through the assembly to a specific worker or need, wherever it happened to be, and some did that.
I have a little question. How many messages have you heard on exercise? How many messages on exercise? You see, it's probably the keyest thing to allow the Spirit to work in your life. Okay, of course, you're not going to get that key thing if you're not A, praying, B, in the Word of God, and C, asking God what He wants you to do every day. It may be writing to a missionary, it may be sending money, it may be praying for somebody, and He may wake you up in the middle of the night to pray about somebody you'd never even thought of. But the only way you're going to have that exercise is be praying constantly. That doesn't mean every second of the day I'm praying, but every day I am praying for missionaries. Every day I am praying for some full-time workers. I remember the story that Fred McKenzie used to say, that he went and visited a farmer, and the farmer says, every day he prayed for all the missionaries. He says, how could that be? He says, well, all my cows, and I have 400 cows, and he says, they have two names. In the morning I pray for one half of them, and at night I pray for the other half. says their first name in the morning is a missionary, and their second name at night when I go to milk them is a missionary. And I pray for all the missionaries every day. Well, I can't do that. I'm not
while,
that.
While I'm milking the car, right?
Right. But, you know, that's what you need to have. You have to have an exercise to have an exercise.
Yeah.
You guys that want to preach, think about it and preach messages on exercise of the Spirit. It's very important. Very important.
Good. Are you finished with that? Yeah. You're not having any break. You're finished with break.
Brother, what do you just said? Concern I have my own life. I rarely, if ever, pray for missionaries because I don't know them and I don't have a. I don't know if it's if I'm supposed to rely on a burden or a feeling.
Where
but,
did this book out? Underline it. Underline
you know, I could go through.
Okay. Don't fight. Don't fight.
I've picked up that book before, and because I couldn't relate to not knowing them or where they were from, I didn't have an interest in them. They weren't in my sphere of contacts, so I didn't have an interest. And is that wrong?
All right. Now, I'm going to violate my ban and add a comment on that. Two short things that are interrelated. While we were in Angola during these years, half a lifetime, I couldn't tell you how many people, as well as assemblies, sent us gifts of support through MSC, never sent the slightest note to make it personal in any way. We have sent to you through, now not everybody, but many, just never bothered. We would sit down maybe at 11 o'clock at night, which is very late in Africa because we live by the sun. We got up at 5:30 in order to be having breakfast at 6 as the sun was rising, because the sun goes in at 6. We're so near the equator that the day is virtually unchanged through the two seasons. It varies by about 15 minutes from 6 to 6. So by 9 o'clock normally we would be in bed. Missionaries with headaches, tired, bogged in problems, and sit down and write a letter, a page, two pages, on an old typewriter to somebody who had sent you a gift. A few months later, through one of the institutions, MSC, CMML, Echoes of Service, whatever, you receive a gift again. Not a word of a letter. No personal communication about the subject at all. Why on earth can't people realize that a letter means an enormous amount to any worker, whether at home or abroad, but very especially abroad, because of the isolation? Against that, I know of assemblies where instead of sending it without any comment, and there were people who sent to us through 35 years and never once sent a letter to us. Never once. There's another very good idea. Some assemblies, when they were going to send a gift, and I know not only to ourselves but also to others. You want to change?
No, go ahead. I've got a couple minutes.
All right, give me a signal. Instead of the elders or the secretary or the correspondent writing the letter, they would tell a younger person, we are going to send $50 to the Longs and such a date. We're sending it through such and such, or we're sending it directly to them. Some people even did that. Would you write a letter to them? And we would have the joy of getting a letter from a 16 or 17-year-old girl or boy saying, I'm so-and-so, you don't know me, but I have been asked to write to tell you that our assembly is sending this gift to you. I am still in high school. I would like some time to be doing something for the Lord. I am doing this. The assembly is doing that. We had a missionary last week or last month, and so on. And then we would write back to that person, you see, instead of writing to the assembly. And these young people were getting then in touch. This is partly an answer to yours. These young people who wrote the letters and who got a letter, hey, I got a letter from David Long, I got a letter from Alec McClellan, I got a letter from whoever, and they got a personal interest in the thing. Then the next time they were sending, it would be from somebody else in the assembly. But we sometimes find these young people, when there was no gift coming, now actually writing on their own and saying, I just wanted you to know that we meet some girls of us in the high school and we pray, and I told them about your work, and last month and from here on in, we will be mentioning your name in our high school prayer meeting. I think this is a very good idea. Why not ask a younger person in the assembly to write to the missionary and tell them something about themselves, about the assembly? It's like a drink of cold water, just a short note. And never forget, my father and mother both died when I was in Africa and I couldn't come home for either of their funerals. We were tied up with the terrorism. If we had come out, we wouldn't have been allowed back in again. Only God knows what that meant to us. One day a letter came to me from an older man, I don't suppose any of you would have known, Captain John Barlow, Jack Barlow's father. And I got this little air form, and he said, Dear David, I'm writing to you under the trees at Stony Brook Conference, where you and I have so often chatted. I have just heard of the passing of your father. I know how you will feel at not being able to come home. I want you to know that our love is with you, that we're thinking about you. We're having a good conference and your name has been mentioned. The bell is ringing. I'll see you when you do come home, and I'll be in touch with you in the meantime. Affectionately, John Barlow. Just a little airmail form. It meant more to me than $1,000. It means a lot to communicate. This business of sending money and never sending a letter to say, we're thinking about you, we're praying about you, and then we take an hour to write back to them and they never even acknowledge it. So there's a hint in two directions. One